Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find unique insights on what's happening in the ever-changing world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by iPublish Media Solutions, the leader in self-service advertising, and by Vevo, bringing local spot buying to music television. And now, here are your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to my co-host, Corey.
Hello, Gordon. How are you?
I'm doing great this wonderful week as summer starts winding down for us. You know, being cooped up for the past several months, we're going to explore the great outdoors for you. And by outdoors, we mean what, Corey? Out of home, right?
Out of home. Out of home advertising.
So we're thinking it's one of those friendly categories, something that kind of teams up nicely with other forms of print, broadcast, digital media. So it's not kind of an either or thing. And so we turn to the new CEO of the Out of Home Advertising Association of America. That's the OAAA, Anna Bagger. She's a woman who, interestingly enough, comes from where, Corey?
Sweden.
Sweden, yes. But I was thinking, actually, she has come from Sweden. The Interactive Advertising Bureau.
Yeah, from the digital side of everything.
Yeah, so that's going to make the that segment of the industry even more interesting. So she's going to talk about how outdoor has begun broadcasting. There's an interesting word. Broadcasting certain types of news and information. Making it seemingly a bit more competitive. And listen for these words in the interview when we get to it. Outdoor is the biggest broadcast medium, Corey.
there's a cliffhanger for you.
Well, I think she means something a little different than you might think by that, but there are some impressive numbers. The interview is coming up in a few minutes, but first, Corey, give us some perspective on out-of-home. What do you see?
Sure. Out-of-home, for the longest time, had been the only non-digital media, the way we look at things around here, that was slightly going up. I mean, at least positive, not negative, like some other things. And, of course, 2020 hit them hard. And you'll talk about that in the interview. And we see them ending up in 2020 at about 15% down, which might sound kind of hefty. But remember, we got local radio coming in at negative 25, newspaper negative 32, even online negative 6%. So
15 is not so bad.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not great. But then again, you know, it ain't bad when you compare it to these other things.
Yeah, but until now, for the past, what, decade, it's been the only non-digital medium that has actually pretty consistently seen growth every year. Growth.
Yeah. Including, and sometimes people include cinema advertising inside of out of home. So if you add that in, then even more so. But man, out of home really took a hit, of course, or not out of home. Cinema really took a hit this time in 2020. So that brought it down a little bit too.
Yeah, those theaters are empty, but there are people out on the highways and in mm-hmm. other venues, and we're finding that out of home is nimble now. They're changing messaging on the fly. They're doing business with the CDC and with the FBI, and with local cities putting up amber alerts,
state governments and things like that. But here's something interesting: you know that 54% of the revenue from outdoor belongs to three out-of-home companies.
Yeah, kind of sounds like TV. You know,
yeah, to Lamar, extent, maybe newspapers. Outfront, and Clear Channel.
Yeah, so it's a bunch. You know, even though there are, what, 1,000 companies out there?
Yeah, about 1,000 with about 12,800 operating units among mm-hmm. them. So it's spread out.
What if you got some real estate, might be a good idea to think about putting up a sign. Especially if it's on the highway, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Yard sign, too, maybe. Anyway, let's get to that interview. I'm eager to get to that, and then we can come and have some commentary on it. So the interview with Anna is coming up right after this.
iPublish Media Solutions is the leader in self-service advertising, offering solutions for obituaries, real estate, legal notices, and other advertising categories. iPublish works with hundreds of media companies, helping them to acquire new advertisers and generating millions in ad revenue every year. From real estate agents to SMBs to private party advertisers, iPublish can help you sell highly profitable campaigns to large, mid-size, and even the smallest advertisers. Visit iPublishmedia.com for details.
Want audience reach that can rival local TV but maintain the targeting and addressability of a premium digital partner? Vevo is the world's largest all-premium music video provider, starring the world's biggest celebrities. Vevo provides advertisers access to 149 million Americans a month, with 61 million of those viewers exclusively on connected TV screens, all in a brand-safe environment. Contact us at Vevo and bring local spot buying to music television, whether it's at DMA, state, or zip code level targeting. Just visit Vevo.com. That's V-E-V-O.com.
Okay, I've got with me Anna Badger from the OAAA. Is it OAAA? Is that what it is?
It is OAAA.
Stand for Outdoor Advertising. I thought you guys were out of home.
It's actually Out of Home Advertising Association of America. Yep.
So thank you for being on the show. I really have been looking forward to this one because of outdoor just being such a really, really interesting category and so resilient. And Anna, you're new to the organization as well. But first, let's start out by telling us about yourself and what you did prior to joining the OAAA.
Yeah. So Anna Bugger, I'm originally Swedish, moved to the US about 12 years ago and started working pretty much immediately at another trade association called the IAB. I had a background on the mobile technology side, and the IAB, which is the Interactive Advertising Bureau, were starting up a center of excellence for mobile and building their mobile advertising unit. So I came in to do that. And then I stayed with the IAB for almost 10 years, first running mobile, then running video. And then in the end, I ran all industry initiatives, data and measurement.
So you got a lot of great experience in interactive media and digital media.
I do. I actually do. And I love my work at the IAB. I love the media industry and I love advertising. But about a year and a half ago or so, I was approached by the OAAA about the CEO position that had previously been with Nancy Fletcher. And they brought me in really, I think, to take my digital competences to the out-of-home advertising industry, and I saw it as a great opportunity. I've always loved outdoor, always been fascinated by the medium and the opportunity to run an association that was in such a growth mode and for an industry that was doing so well, still is doing considering the situation well.
Sure, before we get too far along, tell us about the OAAA. How big is it? What does it encompass? Is it just billboards on the side of the road and those companies or what?
No, not at all. We are the largest trade body for out-of-home advertising in the world, even though our territory is America. We have thousands of members, actually, because the out-of-home industry is vast. There are some really big companies, and then there are a lot of smaller independent guys that could be either independent billboard owners or be in the place-based segment, as we call it. So more sort of digital out-of-home solutions, taxi television, elevators, malls, you name it. Not at all just billboards. It's a large part of what out-of-home media companies do, but it also encompasses street furniture, transit, different kinds of kiosks, again, in the street. Place space that I mentioned, so that could be malls or taxis or
elevators and things like that. We're just seeing it everywhere, bowling alleys, etc.
So airports, transit, pretty much any form of advertising I try to explain to people that is not there to monetize media, that is rather there to monetize a location.
Wow, that's interesting, to monetize a location. You know, Out of Home was doing phenomenally well, just incredibly well for so many years. And while we're watching, say, newspapers decline and TV and radio, all of it under duress, and it's like, you know, the Energizer Bunny, it just keeps going and going. And when you joined, last fall, you must mm-hmm. have felt like you climbed onto a royal elephant and you're going to parade into, you know, the future as CEO. And then the pandemic hits and it feels like nobody's traveling. Everybody's just staying in their home, and out of home, you know, thus becomes useless, right? So, and I know that's not true, but tell me this is an important question. What's new and different about your role today that you just had no idea that you were going to encounter, you know, 6 months later?
Oh, I mean, that would be everything. I mean, running a trade association or any company in a pandemic is definitely not something you can foresee or plan for. And every day, especially I think this particular situation we're in, every day something new happens and something new that affects our industry. So it's been a real learning experience. But what I can say is I still feel like I'm riding that elephant. I love that expression. Because I came in from traditional media. One of the reasons I was excited was that I was the traditional digital media climate, environment, if you can call it that, has been plagued with a number of problems in the past years around brand safety, user experience, fraud, and just, you know, a lot of issues that are in that privacy issues, et cetera. And out of home really does not have a lot of those issues. So that's why I thought it was interesting to be somewhere where it was about growing and not protecting. Saying that, you know, pandemic hits, people are not allowed to go out of home. Of course, that's a challenge for the industry, right? That nobody could have foreseen. But we really retained traffic very well. It wasn't like people weren't allowed to go out of their houses. No, but they were still going out for certain things. And I think as soon as we figured out how to prove that, it started to feel a little better.
So how do you prove that? What do you do through numbers or data or what? But it feels like, and I'm certain, you know, to a great extent, it was true, at least for a couple of months, there wasn't much traffic on the road and there weren't people, you know, in theme parks and other places where there's lots of signage. So how do you prove it?
Well, I mean, look, first of all, yes, there were fewer people outside. I think we can just go to ourselves anecdotally, but people still left their houses. There were a lot of essential workers out there. And we knew that. We worked together with, or I shouldn't say we didn't do much, our sister association, Geopath, together with another company called Enrix, measured traffic and traffic patterns, and not just on the highway, but in cities, foot traffic and roadside traffic. And through mobile location data and other things, and they were able to establish the traffic patterns. And I think when we were at the lowest, we were probably across the U.S. in about 30% less people on the road or in the cities. And now we're back to almost normal levels.
One thing that fascinates me is the ability to update digital signage. As I drive down the highway in the mornings or in the afternoons, I see stuff that's current, that happened yesterday, references to things. It's almost like, hey, suddenly we might be getting our news from reading these signs, even though you're only going to be seeing them for maybe 7 seconds, right? And you can't move. You can't really have a lot of activity on signage due to the laws. But the ability to update this digital signage on the fly is a big thing. And the industry seems to be getting a lot more timely with its messaging. Do you foresee out-of-home becoming competitive to, say, radio and TV in that regard?
Absolutely. And I think we already are. And I think we probably will be even more so as we're moving out of the crisis. You talked about a resilience. It's very much because of, you know, all the features that we represent. Look, the industry is going through a huge transition to more digital and programmatic and automated solutions. That helps with the nimbleness, that helps with being able to change messages very fast. And brands like that, in particular, I think in difficult times, it's important with tonality and being nimble. And we can now provide that. We are actually, we're the largest broadcast medium there is. We're bigger than Facebook in the
US. Hold on. You're the largest broadcast medium there is. There's a headline right there. Give me some examples, Anna, where you're changing messages. And hold on, before you give me advertising examples, I want to know some consumer examples. So I know that there's messaging about Amber Alerts and things like that. But other, say, non-paid messaging, do you do that? Is that allowing you to kind of get into a little more of a media type business instead of purely advertising?
We are a big PSA medium, public service announcements and advertising. So we work very closely through the pandemic with the CDC on health messages. And that's really helped our industry also prove that we're out there, that those have been seen. We work closely with the Ad Council. You mentioned the FBI, or I don't think you did, but we work closely with the FBI. You talk about Amber Alerts. We do a lot of public service messaging on the roadside. And that is very much both helping our medium to be reviewed or regarded as favorable, but yeah, putting different types of messages out that are not just ads.
Hey, one thing I wanted to get into was video. You really have an interesting take on video. It's not allowed, of course, on highways in motion, but in other areas, you've got video screen showing, displaying. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, as I said, I think in the beginning of our conversation, out of home is about monetizing a location, not monetizing media. And it's very much about signage and screens. And there are screens everywhere outside of the highway too. So our medium is really perfect for video advertising. And it's a huge growth opportunity.
We're talking about the back of cabs, and we're talking about maybe elevators or gas pumps, you know, but they're kind of short stays. Are there other locations where you've got video?
Absolutely. Bus shelters, you know, different forms of street furniture. If you look at JCDecaux or Intersection or members like that, they have lots of screens in various places within shopping malls. There are screens everywhere. And you could, as a brand, really activate well in those screens, and you have a captive audience, an audience that will be there for a while. You know the consumer and his journey around. You could make episodical, really interesting content. So from a content perspective, again, you own the whole canvas. You're not inserted into a content stream. The ad is the content. So to run video and something like that is truly powerful.
That's fascinating. You really are crossing over into broadcast, because they're going to claim some of that territory as well. Some of their content, actually. You know, I've seen it in the back of cabs. You might see Good Morning America segments or things like that on there.
Anyway. Well, that is, however, out of home. And we all know that works, because you're kind of forced to look at it, but the content is there. I think that our medium really truly can become a very viable video platform.
Excellent. Anna, thanks for being on the show, and good luck at the OAAA in the future, although I don't think you're going to need it, because you've got a great, great team there. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you so much.
One of the other things that Anna said that I thought was really interesting, if you can't remember, she came from the IAB, right? And she went over to what everybody would consider traditional media. She said she came from traditional media. In other words, she's looking at digital as traditional now. And I keep telling you, Gordon, you got to get away from saying traditional versus non-traditional. It's digital versus non-digital. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that.
That's all advertising. We won't use that word anymore. Legacy was my favorite word. Legacy sounded like, oh,
yeah, that's another good one.
About to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody needs to stop doing that. But you know, I wanted to clarify that one thing that she had said. Anna said about being the largest broadcast medium. She didn't really mean. I asked her afterwards, after the interview, actually a day or two after we did it. Hey, you know, this might cause a bit of a stir. What do you really mean? And what she really meant to say was, well, you know, the messages in a way are broadcast. They're, you know, out there on a sign and people see them. So, you know, a broader sense of the word would be, you know, people are those messages are broadcast to people. But it is, I think I believe these numbers, Corey, it is the largest in terms of its ability to reach people. It reaches more individuals than, say, you know, television does, and some people might dispute that, but the numbers seem pretty solid, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but you can make numbers say anything, right? I mean, and that's the challenge. And I don't mean to disparage, but they're talking about a cum number. They're talking about all of the outdoor that there are in a market over a course of a week are going to reach these many people. It doesn't mean that any one billboard is going to reach anybody, or, you know, that amount of people, but all together. So if I wanted to reach that number, I would have to put ads on every piece of outdoor there is. And that's just not going to happen, obviously. So it's a cum game. It's the cum argument that everybody goes through, especially radio and TV.
Yeah, it's just, I guess, expressing the size. Here's one thing really interesting that I found. When you look at Adidas, there was a story from last year that they had put a whole lot of money into search. And they were operating under the assumption that, you know, they were selling a lot of shoes through e-commerce, through their website, mm-hmm. Based on that lower funnel advertising.
Sure.
And what they learned last year was their obsession with ROI caused them to overinvest in search, and they went back to billboards. They went back to branding. You know, what they thought was that search drove e-commerce sales, and they had a lot of that. But what you actually started thinking, when they were looking at the data, was that brand advertising was a bigger factor in e-commerce sales. Now, here's a quote from the Adidas Global Media Director, Simon Peel, the guy went back to outdoor and some other forms of branding. He said, we had an understanding that it was digital advertising driving e-commerce sales. As a consequence, we were overinvesting. You know how they found out, Corey?
How?
In Latin America, there was a breakdown at Google AdWords, and Adidas momentarily had to stop their investment in paid search. And guess what?
Nothing happened to sales.
They didn't see a dip in traffic.
So you don't need to advertise at all then.
No, they didn't need to advertise as much. So my point is, you know, if there is a movement back, and I think there may be, from search over to branding, kind of understanding, hey, we need to do more of this, particularly by the big brands, but also by the local advertisers, that the benefit may inure to, you know, a big broad medium like outdoor.
Now, the flip side of that, I've read some, there are some challenges to outdoor, and that is what happened in 2020. A lot of people, of course, are locked away and they start shopping online. And then some advertisers get very, very excited. They want to be closer to that point of purchase, and that usually means something digital. That's what they think. So they're actually learning what Adidas learned, or they think they know what Adidas learned a year ago. They're scrambling to get online and say, oh man, we got to get in front of people while they're sitting at their computer because they're locked away. They're not traveling. So that's some conventional wisdom that, or not wisdom, but thought that outdoor community has to get over.
I think the industry is already, you know, trying to combat that. Kim Frank's Operation Geopath, we've had her on the show before, did some really great research showing that, you know, at its lowest during the spring pandemic, spring period of the pandemic, when there were a lot of lockdowns, there was about a 30% decline. And that most of the declines were isolated to big city, East Coast, West Coast. So they can probably combat some of that with that. Those traffic numbers and that data.
That, and it's outdoor, such a fun medium to put into a mix, right? What else can duplicate what it does? You know, it is mass reach, and there's no off button. You can't turn it off.
Here's what gets funner about it, Corey. It gets funner in that they can advertise sunscreen and emit, you know, like on a street, or in a mall or server, when people go back into those places, they can emit a cocoa butter scent, for instance, and they can read your face. There are signs out there that interact with people's faces. They read their face and they know whether someone is. There's a giant billboard where it says, if everybody in the crowd looks up and smiles, you know, this face will smile, you know, and everybody stops, they look up and they all start smiling, and suddenly everybody gets everybody else to smile. Think of that interactivity and what you can do with that.
Dude, not only could they have the scent of cocoa butter, go ahead and spray it on people as they pass. Huh?
I don't want to go there. We're getting just a little too weird. Anyway, thanks, Corey. This has been fascinating. Thanks for joining me on this, one of our upcoming, I don't know which one it is. We've got Smarty Pants coming back.
Ah, she's coming back.
Yeah, your friends. Nice.
Yeah. She had a really lot of warm, fuzzy things to say about advertising.
She was a local ad buyer. It was essentially an agency, Jessica. And it was one of the highest rated podcasts we've had. So we asked her to come back a year later and say, okay, Smarty Pants, what are you thinking now? So she's coming up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to having her. Thanks for joining me, Corey. And thank you, everybody, for listening in on our podcast, and hope you have a great week.
All right. Thank you, Gordon.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by iPublish Media and Vivo. If you have submissions you'd like Corey and Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcasts@BorrellAssociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening. And remember, market well.